Hello there, and welcome to Arcane Recovery, our after talk show of campaign casters.
Yeah!
So Arcane
welcome,
Recovery.
Welcome.
I'm tired.
I'm tired too.
I'm tired.
We're exhausted. If you are not aware of what this little talk show is, this is where we get to discuss and divulge into the things that we loved, the things we were excited for, the things we did not see coming, which there was a lot of in these past two sessions. And yes, it was for episodes 3 and 4 is what we're talking about. So both back to back, because we record in joint sessions. So 3 hours, 1 hour break, another 3 hours. So I'll just go around. What was everyone's favorite part? We'll start with Nick of the two sessions that we were a part of.
Oh, Ignis. I love that guy. Like, I feel like
he is sick.
Yeah, Elkstor made a buddy, and I can't wait to go to one of his shows. Yay! Because I made a pact about it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, great. Yeah, Ignis is cool.
Do love the reprise of a character, you know, a villain of the week that just keeps coming back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
Great.
Yeah.
Jake?
little fake burp there.
My fave.
Yeah. What?
Okay. Those.
Sorry.
Yeah, this is how tension. I was a big fan of how I managed to not let Crawley get away. That's probably my favorite part of the session, because I just wanted the briefcase, and then someone was like, you should catch him too, and I was like, yeah, I should. So, but I'm glad that I managed to not let him get away.
Yeah,
that I was really happy about that.
Same call.
Yeah,
same.
Okay.
Yes, Adam.
My favorite thing that happened was just the I genuinely loved all of the wild things that just happened.
Yeah.
There's so much different depths we got into, like more of Gale's backstory, figuring out more of the connection between you and
Sprig. Or is it not?
What the heck?
Sprig.
The crocodile?
Other guy. No, the other guy.
Urbane?
And also, yes, Urbane, and also, old crocodile boy. But like, so many things happened for each person that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just, that was just cool. Really, really cool.
A lot of great character moments. Sophia.
I liked braiding Brian's hair and
that was
in it.
That was very good.
You guys,
my favorite moment.
You guys were kind of a duo. Pretty iconic.
Pretty
great. Yeah.
I know.
Pretty solid duo.
I don't know. I don't think we should be together normally. I feel
like a lot of crazy things happen.
Absolutely.
It was fun.
Great. Ari?
I think it's so hard because so much happens. So honestly, my brain is like a little stuffy of
fair.
Just, I mean, honestly, of what you were saying, just so many amazing small character moments and small little bits of things interspersed. But to pick one right now is just Brian's choice to take the sword and the consequences of it.
Sick.
I think specifically because this is something that Haven did not bargain for.
Nope.
And as much as it made everything so much harder, I think it unlocked a bunch of stuff, both now and things that are going to come, because he has this sword now, and we don't know much about it.
I'm really scared.
And it was also just a really cool, resourceful choice. I don't have a weapon. Here's one. Yoink. So that's my favorite moment that I can think of right now.
Oh, great.
Haven.
Oh, man. There are so many fucking insane moments.
That's why I just said the chaos.
I would say my favorite moment is this moment that we've been talking about here for a second, not with everyone, but right before we started recording this, which was when Adam's character aged backwards, because I was really, really scared that we were literally just going to have to just kill Leo in a literal one swipe because we read things just different.
Oh, yeah.
And then as soon as we figured it out, I knew exactly where to go with it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just really cool to get to explore some of these things that Nick and I have been planning for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I caught that immediately.
I know that the I think I know what the parallel is.
Yeah.
I think I know what the parallel is.
I think it was just, it was very, very cool. And I think it was mysterious to our audience. And I think it will be like something that people can hypothesize about. And I don't want to continue going more in depth into it because we've just, this is the tip of the iceberg.
There's many more things.
I'm really excited.
Leo is also just a really interesting character to de-age or age because he doesn't really change.
Absolutely.
Because he's literally just magic,
mm-hmm.
and magic like kind of just keeps going.
Yes.
So it's interesting because he just disappeared, came back, was 6 years younger.
Yeah.
No, 5 years younger.
And for people at home that don't know this, Arcanics can live to about 1,000 years because they're fully made of magical energy.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to dissipate like that. Even whenever they're like let's say their elven counterpart dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just fascinating and such a interesting dynamic that we're going to get to.
More years.
Yep.
To live.
Yeah. Now you have more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
What's also really interesting is that whenever, you know, the first episode releases, I mean, it'll already be released by the time this comes out. So, but the little opening scene. So I want to see the theories that come from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have to at the end of this, we'll have to show everyone because not everyone has gotten to listen to it just yet. But
admittedly, I was snooping because I have access to all the materials as the social media manager because I needed music and I was like, oh, what's this? And I connected some dots of something you'd said to Sophia and I went, there's something here, but I'm going to stop now.
Yes. What?
Oh, yes. I'll show you all the teasers afterward.
I'm curious. I'm trying to think of my next question because I'm trying to think of how to phrase this right to everyone. What in this session, there was so much that happened. So there's a lot to think of. What specifically do you think is going to change with your character going forward due to the consequences of what occurred?
Mm. That's crazy.
That's a good one.
That's
Thanks.
A really good
I know that.
Freaking question.
I
Big Wayne.
Are we going
Big
in a circle? Again?
Yeah, we
can go in a circle if you know it.
Yeah, okay. So the whole thing is that Elxador is this paladin and he, the oath of the crown, so he's upholding the law.
Yeah.
With all this that has been happening over like these episodes, and like especially in these fights, he obviously wants to try and not kill and de-escalate as fast as possible. So
Absolutely.
That there, so when things start, you know, getting into killing territory, Elxador will ensure that is immediately stopped, and he will ensure that his fellow compatriots follow that. And if they don't, he will, you know, hold them accountable for those actions because that's part of his whole oath.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely, that's why I was like, don't, especially for Sig, when you were eating people in the pretest episode. I was like, this is a cool thing. So I was wondering if you were getting ready to a little nom nom.
No, I think that if anything, this last episode especially is like Sig needs to like think more about the consequences of his actions.
Uh-huh.
Because like leaving someone to burn in a building.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that person won't actually die and they'll come back and try
and
murder
he did.
You. And he fucking did.
Boy, did he.
Boy howdy. And we got really close today, especially to death or
like
worse.
Three times on a bunch of.
Because I feel like for Sig, there are things worse than death. And
especially for Sig.
Yeah, especially for Sig, there are things that are worse
than death.
Very good.
Thank you. I tried. So.
It was a good save. I appreciate
it.
Worth the death.
Yeah. In case you didn't get the spittle.
Yeah. And it was interesting because whenever the whole little fight happened and when someone decided to throw a punch.
Gee, I wonder
it
who.
It was for a reason. I'm
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was valid.
If you see magic, I think it's
it was, no, it was, it, no, that was, I think that was
I
a complete
no,
sword,
it makes
so.
Sense. We're just razzing on you because of what, because what transpired was so crazy.
Yeah. Because like,
you know.
The funniest, I think it was really funny because the worst that, no, actually, I'd say the worst probably did happen, but like one of the easier, lighter, lenient outcomes was like they just pushed us out and we're locked out from this guy to talk to him. At least that's what I got the impression of until, you know, you gave us that split second decision, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake.
It's funny that you worded the question with consequences specifically, because I wrote down to talk about for this. I wrote
absolutely.
Grabbing Ooh. Sword consequences. Mm. That is my biggest like thing going forward, is what the consequences of that will do to me. Because I don't know if what kind of weapon this is. I have no theories for what it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know if that other form that Urbane took was something that he already had in him, or if it was specifically because he was no longer holding the sword. And so I'm really scared about that. I don't know if I'm able to put down the sword, or else I'll turn into a giant eye monster.
Yeah.
That's the scariest part. That's the consequences of that action will haunt me.
Fair. You also did drugs today, and we have not.
Yeah, it hasn't worn off yet.
Let's talk about that, because I mean, my goodness, how wonderful that you did it. However, we didn't even get to the consequences of that today. So
El Sador is waiting.
Yeah, that was the second thing that I was like thinking of as well, is that hasn't worn off yet. And when I took it, you said, "Well, when it wears off, we'll get to that when we get there." And I'm like, "Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean?"
Yep.
So I'm scared of that, too.
And we know that Fennec experienced depressive patterns because of in taking the drug from the notes.
But it wasn't specifically the luck one, I don't think, was it?
I think it was.
Is that not
the... I believe that's the same.
So far, we know of two. We know the black vial and the gold vial.
Nobody ever told you if Fennec was taking the vials.
Yeah.
He was just making it.
Yeah. We read some journal entries, I thought. I don't know. There was something...
He said that he found how they were making it.
Mm.
Okay.
Don't think he took him.
Still scared of what
he found. Remains of that stuff in Fennec and Sayer's mm-hmm. place, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could have. He definitely could have.
I got really hyped up for a second, and then I got really depressed.
Yes.
So I experienced that in a micro.
Yes, you experienced that, yes.
That's
we
what
can't,
I remember.
I can and cannot confirm that Fennec... was a drug user.
I didn't mean to. I wanted to just do a minute, and then you were like, nah, whole thing. I was like, fuck!
Yep.
No, I wanted to save it for later, but no, consequences of my actions.
Consequences. Leo?
I
feel like this one's...
there's a lot of different things, but I think the biggest thing is seeing the visage of the elven child with gray skin and the runes gold on the skin, like, laying down in the bed, I think. Are they really in a bed?
Seemed to be not in a bed, but rather like out in the environment.
Out in the environment, okay. Mm-hmm. in the woods.
Because you saw lights and stuff within the woods and within the big trees around you.
Cool. But yeah, I'm wondering, because I don't think Leo knew that Arcanix came from, like, restrict the magic off of the elves, but I don't think Leo ever has never saw it.
Yeah,
never saw what it did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's gonna be like a big toll on his heart, or his metaphorical heart. Also, he's just been constantly searching for like why he exists, what his reason for being alive and being. So this is like giving him like, oh, something happened that made this happen. So now he's gonna probably like dive in and start talking about that more with Lycan, or like figuring out what the hell that means.
Absolutely.
I can imagine the guilt what that would be.
Yeah
oh very much theme. Yeah he's, that's like, gonna be
that was a child.
It's gonna be fascinating to explore.
Yeah. Wow.
Lycan.
I have a couple things. I think
the
biggest one is that she saw Lycan saw someone else rune casting.
Yes.
And she's never seen anybody else rune cast before, and that's a first for her. So I don't know where that's gonna go. Mm-hmm. I think had circumstances been different, she would have wanted to talk to Alexi.
Yeah.
But that just didn't make sense. So I think a big thing for Legan's just like there's more people like me. That's weird. So she's gonna wanna check that out. I think Gale apologizing is really big.
Yeah.
So I do think that Lycan wants more of a relationship there. Or wants to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think my, I almost like retrospectively figured out some of why Gael behaved the way they did towards Lycan through having my memories. It like reminded me of things that I'm like, oh yeah, that's my character motivation. And so I'm really excited to further engage with that because I think I made my own motivations clearer to myself.
And yeah, it was a defining moment.
It was just, I have thoughts, I suppose. So yeah.
Good. Thoughts are good.
Yeah. Amazing I have any left at this point. Great. But I mean, yeah. I suppose I also, I don't know, my thing.
Yeah.
You're right. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure. So I think the biggest change, this is the first time very close to the beginning, midway through episode 3, is the first time that Gael has bent the truth in any sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately got a little stressed out about it, but was willing to do it in this case. And I think that's the early whisperings of something we're gonna have to see them do a lot more. And with just how solid are the grounds of religious doctrine, you know, is it all, should one never truly lie? And I think also the other less obvious aspect of that that connects to this same idea was the fact that, oh no, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going?
It was the fact that...
Yeah, I understand.
I'm gonna try
to help. Because I have a point. I was like, is that what I was going to... Oh, yeah, I guess this is... Maybe this was my point. But just the fact that they were taken out so quickly, that they were close to death. And one of the other doctrines of Karmos is because she's the goddess of life, death, and justice... There's a belief that like my time will come when it's meant to, and that one has to like accept that. But I think having come close to that and having to think about like, if that was when I was meant to die, would I really be happy with that? And just the ethics of what is it to come back from. Damn. From death when you're taught so much that death is a natural part of something that you should not fight. And I think that's something that they will be thinking about in a different way. Going out into the world.
Holy
yeah, because I mean, I don't think that's something we talk about a lot in D&D because like people going out and being revived and whatever is kind of normal in this game.
Yeah,
but what is it to cheat the cycle of life and death? What does that mean to someone who values that so much? So I'm very excited to dig into that.
Yeah,
in my mind, yeah. Into the less obvious things. So it's like, oh yeah, no, Gael doesn't like lying. Yeah, but also like, it goes deeper. So
yeah. Will. Wow.
Wait Holy for arc. Shit. Wait for arc two.
Oh, I'm scared about arc two.
Yeah.
Arc
two.
God damn it.
No, no, I, no.
What did he say?
That right now.
What did he say?
I could delete it in a snap.
Go fuck yourself.
We are not, referencing.
Wait, isn't that what this podcast is? The Talk To A podcast, right? That's what I signed up for?
No.
No.
Well, oh, no. I gotta go.
Shit, why have I been here for the past 7 hours?
Fuck?
Damn. Anyway. I'm glad what I was saying was resonating with you.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's just a lot. So
yeah.
Before I even get into the thing that like,
what about Nyssa?
Yeah, I'm gonna get to Nyssa. I wanna make sure that I do say this because it's so great. Like, I'm glad that we got to talk about consequences and like how everyone's gonna go forward with it because. Literally the first thing that Nick and I like decided upon whenever we decided a villain, and I'm not saying who the villain is and what their agenda is.
Leo.
But
capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. Real villain.
The government.
Whenever Nick and I wanted to make this, I knew and I talked with Nick, I was like, if we are going to make a campaign, it can't be something that like every person is just, every person is right, and every person in this party like is the end all be all say to everything.
Yeah.
So our goal was like once I saw Infinity War, specifically Marvel's Infinity War, when Thanos became this person that everyone online was going, it's a terrible thing what Thanos wants to do, but I get it. That was kind of our inspiration in like following the morally gray for the greater good. Mm-hmm. Or for the greater good of what you perceive to be what's best. And that's so hard for mortals to make that level of choice. And I think that everyone's characters, as we just talked about it, are suffering through those consequences, and they're going to have to learn how that is. And I think it really encapsulated our gray areas, which is the whole point of why Nick and I wanted to make this podcast, mm-hmm. I think, was to touch upon those things. Not everyone's good. Not everyone's bad. Mm-hmm. People do good things for bad reasons and vice versa. People do bad things for good reasons.
Yeah.
So I think that that was really, really good, and that that really encapsulated everything, especially with what everyone's saying, the whole thing of death and like having to reel with that. Oh, am I ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
am I satisfied?
Yeah, am I satisfied? Did I live that level of life that I wish to? Oh, yeah. Is it okay to always put myself before others, or is it okay to always put others before myself? Stuff like that. So, but then to go to Nyssa, outside of the insane overarching theme, right? There's so much going on with Nyssa that's just
we got some Nyssa mm-hmm. backstory.
Yeah, we got some Nyssa backstory, and I can't say some things that I want to say.
No,
but
sadly,
but like it's cool to get to see Nyssa start to bloom, because as like a DM, it's hard to run both a character and that sort of thing while keeping that character true to themselves. And luckily Nyssa's somebody who's already kind of quieter. Mm-hmm. But I think getting to have that moment of like them being like, I don't want to talk about this with Elxador was like, I felt like it was very like clear that there's a lot of mystery to Nyssa, and Nyssa mm-hmm. does not want to give up any of that.
Yeah.
And like to me, Nyssa is a sorcerer of light. There's a specific name for it, but their subclass is pulled from Ebon Tides, which they literally have the ability to create like darkness and light like around them. Mm-hmm. Like that's their whole gist. They haven't gotten to do that yet because I've just been so focused on making sure everyone else is doing their stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like that's why I use the magical bows and everything like that to show like the light and darkness between that person. And I think it's so fascinating to see this character like trying to stay in the shadows when everything is lit up around them.
Mm.
If that makes sense. So
gorgeously said.
So yes. I think that was the thing that I'm excited about towards that, and I'm like, how is Nyssa gonna continue forward? Because can they continue to stay in that area and not change? Because obviously the character has to change, but how are they going to do that comfortably?
Yeah.
We'll do one more question. Yeah. We'll do one more question for right now, because I think we've gotten to talk about some awesome shit past two things. Does anyone have a good question off the top of their head?
I know. See, guys, you need to give us questions so we can answer them.
Yes. Oh. Yes, please. That's what we want.
Yeah, for our Reddit.
That's what we want to get to. Yeah. We want to get to that point. Yeah.
For like our subreddit, Instagram, like wherever we can find, maybe even some reviews, mm-hmm. like questions you guys have, we want to see them. Answer them.
Do you have a question?
No, I just had a funny like comment that I thought about.
Go for it. Well, give it. Because I have a good question.
While you're thinking of questions. Oh, you got a question?
Yeah.
Okay. It was this fun. I wrote in my notes, view from the bottom floor, because I think it's really funny to think about how Leo, Lycan, Elxador, and Nyssa didn't go up to talk to Crawley. So they like didn't see the fight start or anything. The group separated. They went to watch this fight. Next thing they know, it's Alexi, golden flash, golden flash, golden flash, golden flash.
Yeah.
They chase and follow up. And when they get there, Just a fucking giant demon. Brian has this whip sword. There's some dude booking it down on like a horse. Gale is completely unconscious. Sig is in his monster form. Just the chaos to go from not knowing what's happening to just seeing that. I pictured that during while we were recording, and I started laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so fucking funny.
Absolutely. I agree with that actually wholeheartedly. That actually makes me think. This was something I personally was nervous about as DM. The past two sessions, session one and two, I wrote 16 pages.
Ooh,
for these two sessions, I wrote 8. I was like, is this going to be enough? Like, I was like, oh my God. I literally was talking to my girlfriend Mercedes. I trust my improv skills. I think I can do it, but is this going to be enough? And then as soon as Jake took the sword, I went, we're good. So I was like, that's a shame because this fight's going to be really long. But I was like, that also means I don't need to worry about like improvising on the spot or anything like that. I already had it in my head personally that Crawley was going to try and escape and get to the racetrack. I had wrote that down in really simple terms for myself in case you guys got to that point. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, thank God. They didn't just immediately kill him in like a single hit. Mm-hmm. Because like had all of you teamed up and been able to be before Crawley in initiative, none of that would have occurred. Had all of you been upstairs, none of that would have occurred. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
we kind of not been following the rule of don't split the party. I think we've been doing the exact opposite.
But circumstantially, we've been put in situations where it's hard not to split the party.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or else everything takes a million years and people feel extraneous and whatever. I mean, but we're reaping the consequences of our actions. However, that's like real life, you know?
And we're still learning to be
the
a
rule,
unit.
I feel like that's just like,
no,
I don't want to call anyone lazy, but I feel like that's a lazy DM to be like, don't split the party.
Here's the thing.
It's a dungeon crawl rule.
Absolutely. That's exactly why that was created.
Yeah.
Was because here's the thing is whenever D&D started out, it was like Sophia says, just dungeons. It was just dungeon crawl, go, kill, 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 do a couple puzzles together, and then nobody's left behind. Now with role play coming into this sort of scene, and it now is becoming like, now you have to actually have choice. You had to have choice before, but it was more like those actual D&D books where you're like, okay, let's choose this one place, other this other. Now there's so many options that if you, like, it's great if you keep the party together, but it doesn't mean that you can't not split that party.
And I think it allows for awesome moments of, I don't know, specific character moments and bonds to happen. Like, got to have a moment with Brian and to have moments with Alxador. And I don't know. I think that's...
Also, when you have a sizable party.
We're also huge. We're a presence.
We have like a 3-4 or...
It's still like a normal party.
Yeah, like a normal
party.
Yeah. So really quick before we like are ending anything like this, I actually just want to know... I want to know two things. I want to know... what were some of your favorite parts about the NPCs you got to meet and some of the things that were kind of like left there for you to be like, oh, what? Because there was a lot. And then the second one is, what do you actually think that we will do with Sayre?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, good. You made a face that scared me.
Yeah. Actually, I have one question before I... Would have Elxie won that fight? Would I gotten my gold back?
You would have gotten your gold
back. Damn it! No! All right, it's fine. Anyway.
That darn gold.
So sad.
Yeah, I pre-rolled it, so I knew Alexi won.
Fuck. That's so sick. Okay, but what I... I really like Ignis. And like why I liked him so much was that there's like an air about him. Like obviously actor, I made a pact with him. I need to follow that up.
Absolutely.
But like the idea very much. And the idea with him, with me being a paladin, I can't fully lie.
Yeah.
So I tried to go around that as much as I could.
Yeah, I thought you did a good job.
Thank you. Because I was fucking flabbergasted when you first introduced him.
Yeah, for those who didn't get to hear this part because we're editing it out, we had to literally do a reset.
I was just buffering. I'm like,
of our third episode.
I have no idea what to say to this guy.
Because we're all human.
And it ended up being for the better anyway.
Oh, well, yeah. I think the order of it worked out. Yeah. Very well, especially because then it aligns with the order that we listed at the end of the last episode. It's like chronologically, absolutely. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we are humans. We are people. We get these nice little edited together episodes, and there's a lot you don't see. And, you know, I think that's what makes the teamwork of it all so important. And, yes, but the idea is, even as we try to put forth a brand of, you know, we're just people. There's a lot that we do polish, but, you know, you got to remember the layer back. Like, we're just people. We're just humans. We get here at 10 a.m. and end our day at 7 and, you know, chug along. But
and we do this for fun.
I don't know, but it's a special kind of commitment. And it makes me, I'm so grateful for this group where we can be like, okay, let's reset. And no one's mad at each other for needing to do that. Yeah. Dual improv game. Yeah. Sorry, I derailed the
thing. No, you're all good.
Perfectly fine. Okay. Yeah. That was needed to be said.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. And so what I liked about Ignis is that with this air here, whenever I was trying to like, I kind of skirted around the truth. I was like, well, we are investigators. And you're like, okay. So like there's a 50-50 chance that he has an in with the drugs. Who knows? But like, and what was more interesting is as, you know, I kept playing with him and built that connection, at least like out of like maybe the group or something like that, where I get to come back later and there's that connection there. So it's like, where is that going to go? And will he actually be someone of help if he really likes our group and wants to divulge things, or if he's going to be like, I'm going to get close to you and then I'm going to, you know, reveal information to my people. So that's what I really love about Ignis and that air of just uncertainty.
Yeah. I won't elaborate. Heath.
Okay, I've been thinking about Urbane.
He just had this reaction face. I don't know what
going on. Heath just had a big reaction
face. Yeah,
I'm like, I've been racking my brain this whole time. Why didn't Urbane stab me the moment he saw me?
Ooh.
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you played the game with him.
Yeah, I played with him. And then I'm like, oh,
and he was
God.
Like, well, do I know you?
Did he actually have his sword at that moment? And like,
because he was in the casino.
Because he was in the casino.
And he left.
Did he have to like go get his sword to come and kill me?
I don't know.
I think you do know.
Well,
he doesn't have it anymore.
That's true. But like, I was just like,
that is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like the fact that he walked away, I was like, part of me is like, damn, I should have talked to him. Oh, well. This girl, I could probably get information from this girl.
Yep.
But like, we made a little friend, although not like the best friend, but like
a flirtatious.
She got really friendly with me.
And like, I do intend on visiting her little winery, her family's winery at some point, and hopefully getting a free drink.
Absolutely.
Does Leo?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I don't. I don't know if Leo likes that attention or was unsure of what to do about that attention.
Yeah.
And
well, you got a wingman in Sieg over here.
I know.
Exactly. Follow that.
Because it's not very obvious, but Leo has his eyes somewhere else.
Not obvious.
Not obvious.
Leo, you.
Eyes?
Oh my God.
Oh, eyes.
Eyes?
Eyes?
You got eyes?
More than one eye?
Eyes?
Say it.
I got an eye somewhere else. Yes. But no, that actually was going to be the character I was intrigued by. I was like, wow, that was like the one just from Leo winning every single time was enough for that person who was very slam drunk to be like, you're cute. I'm like, I'm a magical creature. I don't have any genitalia. I don't have lips. I am here.
I don't have lips.
Like it's, and I think he's still figuring out the concept of love, but he definitely gets that pull towards Lycan.
What?
But you know, We'll see where it goes, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, Jake.
I mean, those locks, for sure. Just what is that white dolphin symbol? I hate that I failed that check twice.
Me too.
And then...
Because I wrote cool shit.
And then... and then I couldn't roll again, even when I was lucky, because I had already failed twice. I'm like, who are these people? Because I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, maybe Brian should know, but I know nothing. Yeah. So, but just... I forgot that I don't look like an atypical lock, like, because I'm literally like the color white, not like Caucasian, like white, and with like only just like blue pointed
tipped ears,
and shit. So I don't know if they like fully recognized me as a lock, because they didn't make a comment about me not being blue or anything, so I don't really know what they were thinking about me. But I wish that I knew about them.
Absolutely. Fair. Lycan?
What I think we'll do with Sayor.
Was that the question?
There were two. So
I forgot about that one. Oh, shit. We'll keep her.
I think my go-to answer should be Alexi, but I already kind of commented on it. I feel like, you know, she's intrigued by the rune casting. I think.
Absolutely.
Witnessing the moment with someone else flirting with Leo was like weird. For Lycan, I don't think she quite knows how to respond yet, and that's okay. Yeah. She was jealous in the moment, but also didn't. I don't think she understands what love is either. Like all the reading she's done, it's all been nonfiction.
I think the best way in my head to describe both of you is like two teenagers trying to figure out how to actually say you like someone.
Yeah,
but, I also don't even think it's like I don't think she's read a romance novel. I don't think she has an experience of like, oh, that's a kind of
absolutely
category of relationship.
Fascinating.
Yeah, like I don't know. In just her world experience.
Yeah.
And we'll learn more about her life. But that's
Girl.
I had to like figure out, is that Sophia reacting or is that Lycan reacting?
Did you want to say something about Sayor? Yeah, I was going to say.
I would be so scared to bring Sayor with us because I don't think they're having the responsibility of it. Like, I don't think we should have a child with us.
We just need to find their brother.
Riker's about to become a parent, I think. I think that's what's...
Yeah, as long as we have a safe place for Sayor to be. I could imagine Riker being a good adoptive father.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing about with Gael is that they didn't interact too in depth with anyone because they're not one to super talk to make pleasantries or anything. It's just not something on their social radar. Like, they just don't really care. However, I, as a player, I friggin' love Ignaz. I just love him. I just, the energy, the boisterousness, the fact that he's an actor. I don't know. Everything about his vibe just made me so happy to observe. So I just love him as a character, and I hope I get to tag along if just Elxidor going to see the show. I just want more Ignaz. I love him.
I think it could definitely be a group.
And I loved the reactions that it warranted out of everyone, because everyone yes-anded the hell out of that, and it was great.
I love yes-anding.
And I was starting to think, I was like, oh, do you think, I was like, is this an actor maybe that Gael knew about because maybe Tovey was into his work or something like that. I don't know. It was a thought in my brain. Who's Tovey? We'll talk more about her. She'll keep coming into
more than mine.
Yeah, I know. We saw her briefly, at least, in episode 2. Anyway,
back to Shalona.
Yeah, I think as for what's going to happen with Sayor, I know Gael's going to fight really hard for her to go to the House of the Solstice, because anywhere they're seeing immorality or a lack of safety, I don't think Gael fundamentally is like seeing her brother or her mother as like bad people, but because they have acted immorally in one way or another, whether that's involvement with drugs or abandoning a child, I mean, Gail has some personal ties with that for things that I will not completely disclose at the very moment. But I think they're going to fight really hard for her to end up at the House of the Solstice because they do know that it is safe, or at least has been to them.
Safety for sale.
But we'll see what the consequences of any of that are as well.
We're going to do two things. One, I have just a quick question. What did everyone think about Ignaz being a light genasi?
Super cool.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. I want to know more about that.
I'm so intrigued. Yeah.
Surprise race.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I made Ignaz 2 days ago.
You're kidding me. I love him.
I made him 2 days ago.
He felt like a real person.
Yeah. He really did.
Which I think is why it's like startled everybody so much. It's like, whoa, that's like a dude.
Yeah.
That's a dude. Person I know.
Yeah.
I've not met that person, but
that's
I know
uncle.
The person.
Yeah.
So if that makes sense.
Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that. But I was like, because Nick and I had not made more races for this world. We made a shit.
We made six.
We made six of them, you know? But I was like, I want something that's still familiar that is like other things we could add into like the book or something. And I'm like, why do people not do like different versions of genazis? Like there's more elements than just earth, fire, water, and air.
Water. Especially the elements that were in.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so I was like, let me just think about all of those runes and how the elements work. There should be a genazi flavoring for each one of those, in my opinion. So I just was curious about that. So cool. Good to know that Ignaz is working. Can we end this off by doing three things?
Let's do three things.
Oh, my God.
Three things! Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, we got to make it.
Three things is basically an improv game where we'll go around in a circle and we'll do a chant like three things. And then I will start and I'll say something around like three blanks. And then Jake or whoever's next to me will have to say three things. Whether they coherently go with what it is or not, it doesn't matter. It's what first comes to your head so that you get the action reaction into just thinking on your feet and thinking of whatever first instincts come to your head. It's supposed to open up your instincts and get you to use your brain.
Yeah, and this is what we used today to get us kind of locked in after we had to take that brief pause.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I feel like it's a good fun tradition.
Should we make it campaign caster flavored?
That's what I was going to say. Should we ask questions? Oh, yeah. Ask questions about the characters that we're playing?
Or
shit?
The world.
Just
like things the world. That can be listed.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ready? Do it really fast.
Make sure you're able, like, you go close to the mic whenever you say your thing and then go back.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to be loud, so I guess.
Three things.
Three of your favorite things about Brian.
He's a pirate.
One.
He has an eye patch.
Two.
He's 17.
Three things
Sig hates.
Sig hates spicy food.
One.
Sig hates little children.
Two.
Sig hates bullies.
Three. Three things.
What are your least favorite elements?
Oh, fuck. I was going to. Okay.
Go.
Earth.
One.
Water.
Two.
Psychic.
Three things.
Favorite locations in Ventalor.
Galgrados.
One.
Dwaldana.
Two.
Conamanther.
Three things.
What is Gael's three favorite parts about the Church of the Solstice?
Ooh. The library.
One.
Tovey.
Two.
And the beautiful grounds.
Three. Three things.
Three.
You asked.
Three of your favorite runes.
Wisdom.
One.
Putrescence.
Two.
Pollen puff.
Three things.
What are three of Leo's favorite downtime activities?
Reading.
One.
Spending time with Lycan.
Two.
And not thinking about the way that the world will end.
Three things.
Woo! Have a great rest of your day, folks. Yeah. And be careful adventuring. If you get tired, come back home.
Woo!